I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lazy, what's going on, man?
Yo, what's up, D-Lo Casey? Hey, guys, sorry to backtrack, but I was just going to talk a little bit about Niners. You guys were talking about Purdy, and disclaimer, I'm not a Purdy hater. I think Purdy's pretty good. I've compared him to Eli. There's times where he looked great. Other times where he's a little shaky. But I'm not hating on Purdy. My question was, you guys were mentioning Purdy gets a lot of hate because of where he was taken in the draft. My question is, why do you feel he gets that? Because guys like Dak Prescott, Dak was like a fourth-round pick from what I remember. And correct me if I'm wrong, but when Dak came onto the scene, people were excited because Tony Romo had failed so much in the playoffs.
Leezy, the fourth-round pick, that's still prime territory in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's still a big-time pick. Brock was the last pick in the draft.
Literally call this person Mr. Irrelevant.
He was the last pick in the draft. And the reason it really boils down to the people who covers this game, ego. That's what it is. They didn't know anything about him. This caught them off guard. They weren't prepared when Trey Lance went out. Jimmy Garoppolo came in. Jimmy Garoppolo went out. And they had to go to Brock Purdy, and they succeeded. Mm-hmm. They weren't prepared for that. They were lost. Yeah. And I think instead of like, man, they can't tell you what he did in college and high school, and they didn't know all this stuff because – he was Mr. Irrelevant. They didn't pay attention to him. Kills them that they didn't know that.
I agree 100%. They literally can't believe this guy could be this good.
Right. Right.
Like, fourth round pick, like, it's conceivable. We knew Dak Prescott at Mississippi State. He mm-hmm. was a Heisman candidate earlier in that final season. They knew who he was. They knew that there was some talent there and all this other stuff. They cannot believe Brock Purdy is this good. Like, there's no way. They're still looking at it like, yeah, he's a fine quarterback. Like, mm-hmm. he's okay. He's not an MVP candidate.
Right.
Like, that's not who he is. That's what a lot of people are looking for.
Outrageous.
He's not a franchise quarterback.
Right.
There's no way he's that. And I think that's what plays into it instead of some people just saying, like, nah, he's really that good. He's just going to have to keep kind of proving himself, I guess. Do you think if he has another season, I guess you've kind of already talked about this, but if he has another season like this year, say they lose in a divisional round, will he be looked at as one of the top quarterbacks?
If he has another season like he had last year?
Yeah, last year.
Or
is he still just a product and...
No, I don't think he's looked at as a top quarterback. I think he has to be even better.
Wow.
It's not fair, but I can't see him putting up a season similar to last year and them suddenly shift who gets the credit. I think he has to put up... I think he has to put up, like, MVP conversation type numbers.
Mm. Again.
You think they think about Brock the way they do because maybe they think Shanahan could put whoever there and the Niners will be successful in some sort of way?
Jimmy Garoppolo certainly is not helping that argument. or helping that narrative because it feels like, he can.
Because say if the Niners lose in the Super Bowl division round or whatever, it's not about, Brock Purdy wasn't able to lead this team. This would be the Kyle Shanahan, the team, whatever.
Well,
like,
you know
he's
what
kinda
I think?
Caught in the middle of that now.
You know what I think part of that is, though? Kyle is the link. Because it was Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Now it's Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. Kyle's the link between all of those Super Bowls with those different quarterbacks.
It's a common denominator.
Thank you.
It's Kyle Shanahan. You know, I was looking up some of these numbers from last year because I saw like some bets and projections of who will lead these statistical categories. And Brock, we talked about this to a certain degree before, but it's kind of crazy to just see in real time. Or see the numbers. Brock Purdy last year was fifth in the league in passing yards, 42-80. The number one quarterback was Tua, who was 46-24. So, what's that, a little less than 400 yards or something like that? Tua threw the ball 560 times. Brock Purdy threw the ball 444 times. It could go to another level, and you look at the second guy yards per game or yards total, 45-75 is Jared Goff. He threw the ball 605 times.
Mm. Wow.
And was, what, almost 300 yards, only 300 yards more than Brock Purdy?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's crazy how little he throws the ball in the production.
That and what's crazy, is what were the last two names you had there? Jared Goff was one.
Jared Goff and Tua.
Yeah, Tua. Those guys don't have any talent around them.
That's right.
Brock Purdy's the only quarterback that has talent. I mean, Tyreek Hill's a bum, right? Like, none of those guys are good. We know the Lions don't have no core that anybody is excited about. No, it's Brock Purdy is literally the only quarterback in the NFL who has talented guys around him. Pretty crazy.
Tua.
That was sarcasm, by the way, if I wasn't able to get that point across clear enough. It was heavy sarcasm.
Of the top 15, this is yards on the season.
Mm-hmm.
Of the top 15, only three threw under 500 times. It was C.J. Stroud at 499. He had 499. He was eighth in the league in yards. Lamar Jackson at 457, but he was 15th. In the league in yards, and Brock Purdy at 444. Everybody else is in the mid 500s. Sam Howell threw the ball 612 times.
All right.
Sam Howell was 12th in the league in yards. That's crazy.
That is crazy. That's all right. John Kitna once led the NFL in passing.
John Kitna.
That's a shoot. That's a shoot. Do you have more on Devontae?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll believe him because I just believe Devontae Adams was saying that. I hadn't talked to this guy that much. I do think he's not happy there. Devontae Adams, he was interesting out of everybody that was in that receiver film. That was an interesting watch for Devontae.
It was.
Looking at Devontae Adams.
It was. But, or maybe... And I'm just talking. I have no idea, especially given that that is a TV show that is built for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
They knew they had a soundbite in the "he's going to get me killed" or "I got to get out of here before he gets me killed" or whatever that line was from Devontae, and they chose to we got something. We can build our Devontae Adams character around that line.
Mm.
Not to insinuate he is or isn't happy, but like this is television. Mm-hmm. This is what this is. We can frame this as reality television all we want to. It's still television designed to entertain you, and every character has a character arc.
Right.
And that was Devontae's character arc. And so maybe a single line that they chose to kind of build Devontae's character around is really just what they chose to build his character around. Maybe it's just a part of what that TV show is.
To me, though, that wasn't even the one that bothered me. This wasn't even part of the TV show. I think you said you remembered it. I forgot this press conference. When after they won, he's like, "Yeah, wins and losses don't matter to me. I'm on greatness." And I understand that aspect.
Yeah. But
what are you talking about? Like, I understand, like, you strive to be the best that you can be at all time individually. I get it.
Yeah.
But if you win, that should be number one.
I got you.
And I'm not putting anything on Devontae Adams. I'm just saying I was like, oh.
But what if that's just the magnitude of losing games?
Could be.
And you're putting him out there, and we talk about this all of the time, and we try to be aware of these situations, but you're putting him out there after another loss in front of a camera and asking him to talk. and he's frustrated. And it's clear he was frustrated playing with Jimmy Garoppolo. He was, and we clearly the Raiders did not watch Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. Like, Jimmy will get you murdered. I'm so sorry, Devontae. This is not new. This is not new. But whether that translates to Devontae's happiness or not, I'm not sure. I'll say this, though. It's tough that he's had to address this multiple times. Obviously, part of it was from the series, and that's, you know, his agents have done a good job of staying on top of that. And then, you know, now Devontae does it because DeSean Jackson is talking about him. And it's an easy narrative. And oftentimes, whether it's reporters or just people who are trying to be like sports media people, don't get called out for. And it could be as simple. I never told that man I wasn't happy. I may have and maybe they did have a conversation where he expressed frustrations. I express frustrations about this show all the time. It doesn't mean I'm unhappy doing it. It doesn't mean I'm unhappy with either of you. It means I was frustrated about something that happened that day. We act like athletes can't be the same way. Now, I don't know what situation I would go with. I don't care if this show loses. I'm about my greatness. I don't know what situation presents itself where I do that. But, you know, sometimes you say stuff and, like, you can't say nothing to nobody no more because somebody's going to put a camera in front of them.
Need to write a book on the damage Josh McDaniels did to that franchise.
And that's
because it all circles back to him.
Bro, you brought that up earlier this week, man, and I think that is so true. Jason Jones even echoed it on Tuesday. Just because he's gone doesn't mean that's gone.
Still years of
you can get all the crap off the bottom of your shoe, but you know it's still there. That's what the Raiders are trying to do right now. They're trying to get the Josh McDaniel crap off the bottom of their shoe.
Well, yeah, they got to get it done.
You got to throw them bitches away and just get a new pair. Well, it's over.
They got to get it done, and they can't be worried about Josh McDaniels no more.
No, and I don't think that they are. No. I don't think that they are.
It's like they're still feeling the effects of his decisions, though.
You need, I think more time with Antonio Pierce. I think more time with
Tom Telesco.
More time, you know, hey, this.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is different. This is new. People, keep those victory cigars going. You lose three, you get one, you're 1-3. Yo, light the cigar. Like, that was unique to you. Everybody seemed to enjoy it. It seemed to accentuate AP's vibe a little bit. Yo, keep that stuff up. That's good for, to me, that's good for locker rooms.
Absolutely. I'm hoping it works out for Devontae in Oakland or Las Vegas, unless he gets traded to the Niners. And then it's like, okay, all right.
How thirsty are you?
Very.
Okay, all right. Well, at least you're honest.
Don't worry, guys. Gardner Minshew will fix it.
We'll come back. More football talk. We'll shift our attention. We'll shift our attention pretty soon here to game number 18 in the top 20 games of the Kings season. Plus, Matt George in the final hour of the show. That is all ahead here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Labor Day is behind us, but the Matthews Mattress sales event is not. It is still jumping off right now because we knew you would do what KC did, and that's procrastinate.
You ain't got to call me out. You ain't got to put me on blast like that.
I'm just letting everyone know that they're not the only ones procrastinating. Matthews Mattress was prepared for that. A couple of months of working with KC, they knew, I know KC needs a new bed. Let's extend the sale a little bit because he's going to get to cooking. He's going to go to all these concerts, Future and Metro Boomin and all that. He's not going to get in here and get his new mattress. He's going to miss out on the sale. You won't miss out on the sales. They're all going on right now. Beauty Rest Black, Shirley Tempur-Pedic, all of that stuff is still going on right now. You can still get the adjustable frame. You can still get 60-month special financing with zero interest, with no money down, on approved credit, with equal monthly payments required. You can still visit any of the 10 locations and tell them that D'Lo and Casey sent you. You can still do that and enjoy all of the Labor Day sales events, Labor Day sales prices going on right now.
And you can still buy five, sleep by nine, free same day delivery is what they offer you. Also, plus free removal of your old
They'll get rid of your old stuff. Mm-hmm. They do all of the work for you. Mm-hmm. They're fantastic. They showed up on the day I moved into my new place, navigated all the movers and everything that was going on, put that bed that weighs somewhere around 4 billion pounds up there, had everything set up for me beautifully, and did it in no time, man.
Yeah.
MatthewsMattress.com. Find one of the 10 locations nearest you. NFL season kicks off tonight. Obviously, we're all very excited about that. Teams across the league, full of hope. That's true. That's what the new season brings.
Who doesn't have hope right now?
The New England Patriots? Well, no, they got the quarterback. They got a quarterback.
Hope for this year.
Oh, hope for this year? You will that. We're talking about as far as making playoffs?
The Panthers don't have hope. Dude, what are the... If I said three teams in the NFC West were going to be looking for a coach in the next 6 months, is that a hot take?
In the NFC West?
I'm sorry. Dump that. If I said...
I was wondering. I was about to say...
If I said three teams in the NFC East were going to be looking for a head coach in the next 6 months, is that a hot take?
No, not at all.
Is it likely?
I think it is a hot take.
I put it on likely. You think it's a hot take? I put it on likely.
Is that because you like Daboll?
Well, no, it's a hot take because we don't have the Commanders winning, right? The division?
I don't think,
I guess it's not a hot take if maybe the Cowboys just win the division and Jerry's like, all right, well, that was fun. See you later, McCarthy's out. Yeah, I guess no in that sense.
Sirianni's probably out.
Yes, no, it's not a hot take then.
And then I don't know how much more of a grace period Brian Daboll has.
Yeah, I would say.
He was the worst coach of the year award in history. You guys gotta be kidding me.
How the hell did Kyle Shanahan not win that one?
You guys stripped these clowns' votes. I can't believe they bought that.
I cannot believe it.
Yeah, I can see that, though. If the Eagles don't make the playoffs, they'll fire Sirianni. Daboll and Daniel Jones was like it's ran its course. And then Mike McCarthy might just be, all right, well, thanks. No thanks.
Let me ask you this.
It's a big year for Dan Quinn. Or this is a big...
opportunity.
Yeah, opportunity. Thank you.
I'll ask you guys this question. You think any of them get fired in the middle of the season?
I think there's only one that's possible.
Sirianni?
Yeah.
I'll go with Brian Daboll.
There's no point. Yeah?
Yeah. They're just not good. If it's to a point where it's like, okay, this isn't working or whatever, and the front office is like, we got to blow this up.
But why Daboll, fire get out him in the middle of the season?
Maybe,
like Nick Sirianni, you might be trying to like salvage something.
I mean, maybe you want the number one pick that bad to where it's like, all right. Linebackers coach X, come coach us.
Deion and Shador.
There you go. Letting Deion know, hey, the job is open.
Yeah. Because
there might be a point where like Brian Daboll could probably coach, but you're not going to win with Daniel Jones on that team.
No, I don't think so.
Daniel Jones coming back from a torn ACL.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, Giants aren't good at all.
Who's got a better chance of sticking around at the end of the season? Nick Sirianni or Robert Saleh?
Robert Saleh.
You think so?
Yeah. I'm not putting any of Kenny's money on it. But if you that was a very specific one or the other, I'd say Robert Saleh. You disagree?
Everything's gotta go right for him because like now this is his last, like this is it. And it's gotta be because Rodgers probably won't be the quarterback next year. So you're gonna probably give him an extension or something like
and
that.
And the cold thing is, his record is really bad.
Yeah, yeah. They have not been good, but it's also like, all right, well, Zach Wilson's been there, so we'll give you a pass.
Sirianni, like, if they have to make the playoffs. Both coaches got to make the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. If the Eagles don't make the playoffs, Sirianni out of there, and obviously the same thing for the Jets.
I think the Eagles could lose in the wild card round of the playoffs, and he could still be fired.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think that's true for Daboll.
If the same thing happens like it happened last year, because that's what happened. They lost the wild card.
Yeah. Nah. I think he's out.
Well, the issue for him is it's not even about results. It's all vibes now. And if the team's not liking you, then who cares that you like just not going to work?
If Jalen dropped the Magic Johnson and said, it's him or me.
Yeah.
Well, it's him.
The Eagles really kind of blew their chance, because I don't feel like the Eagles, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. I'm not as close. You guys aren't as close to the situation. I don't think they're set up the way the Niners are set up. Like, the Niners are, yeah, Super Bowl hangover, Brock's contract, all this other stuff. But you look at that roster, like, nah, we talked about it the other day, they're solid for another 2 seasons or something like that.
Probably.
I don't feel like the Eagles were set up that way. I feel like they missed their opportunity.
Well,
they've got 2 more years, I think, of being true contenders.
I think it all depends, though, if I was wrong about that defense.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, I don't think you were.
If Jesse was right, and maybe just, you know, a couple bad apples. You know how those bad apples spoil the whole bunch across the country. We all know how that works. If it was just a couple of bad apples and they were able to weed that out and those guys can come back together, it feels like the core of their defense should be good. When you look back last year, it looked like they, like, aged right in front of us.
Mm.
Like, everything was slower. Nothing was aggressive. There was no front seven working the way that it had in the first 10, 11 games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
If my assessment of what happened at the end of last year is wrong, I think Jesse's right. There are a couple more years. If my assessment is right, they don't have this year.
Mm. Unless
Saquon Cooks. If Saquon Cooks, I'll think differently.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because this is kind of the equivalent a little bit, maybe not. They lost Kelce.
Yeah.
Hassan Reddick and Fletcher Cox. What if the Niners were to lose Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, and Hargrave?
No chance. You can't lose Trent Williams. That's what we talk about with the Eagles. Yeah.
I don't think that, like, Fletcher Cox is good, but he was kind of like, you're prepared for that. Like, Jason Kelce too. Like, Hassan Reddick's tough, but I don't think it's that extreme. Like, I think they can work through that. Because if you look at their offense, like, AJ Brown's only 27. Barkley's 27. Like, they're still young on offense.
Devonta Smith,
yeah, if you're able to just replace those guys on defense or whatever, I think they'll be fine. They're still relatively young enough to compete the next 3 years, I think.
Saquon being 27 is pretty amazing.
Why, you think he's older or younger?
Well, no, just the fact that the Giants were like, nah, forget it.
For running backs, he's basically 35 for all we care.
Wild. Yeah. That is just wild. Like, it keeps getting younger. It used to be 30.
Yeah.
Now it's like, nah, screw it. Get him out of here at 27. Just get a new one in here.
You can clean up some stuff on defense, like, because they did lose guys or whatever. They can clean it up. They'll be fine, I think.
I don't think they did, though.
Mm.
If they did,
it's the young guys.
Right.
I mean.
And you got a guy like Jalen Carter, who people were going crazy over at the beginning of the season, and rightfully so. He was looking like a beast, and he faded. He faded throughout the season. I don't know. And then you got to ask yourself, did he fade due to teams figuring him out? Did he fade due to... he was overplaying, you know, playing over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to have to, like, get to that level and do more without guys like Fletcher Cox and Hassan mm-hmm. Reddick to help him out on that line. I think they got real, real issues moving forward. I think their opportunity, they could have won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Is their window closed? Are the windows painted?
New society. Trista's windows that she's working on.
Is that where I saw that from?
I think it is. I think it is closed. I think it is closed for this guy, this group.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm the guy that picked them to miss the playoffs, so I can't really be surprised that that's your response. I mentioned this to start the show. I know John Bull is in here, a lot of Bears fans in here, excited for what's ahead with Caleb Williams, and I understand all of that, as you should be, by the way. I think it's tough when you come off of a season like what C.J. Stroud had last year, and rookies this year, and there's a good handful of them. You know, we talked about Daniels in Washington and comparing him to what C.J. did, and for those that, like, weren't paying attention – at least, like, in-depthly paying attention, CJ had one of the best rookie seasons for a quarterback in history. Hmm. And going, okay, who's going to do that next? That's a bit not realistic.
CJ was Mahomes like.
Yeah, he was really, really good.
That gets thrown around at Fu or whatever, but like he actually was like, okay, this might be something
here. And CJ was a true rookie. And when you look at true rookies, you can point to Russell Wilson, who won right out the gate. You can point to your boy. Like, now I'm not going to pretend like I remember, but Dan Marino's rookie.
Oh, that was great. I remember 1984.
See, it's always brought up about how great Dan Marino's rookie season was. Yeah. I'll take everyone's word for it. I wasn't around for that, but I was around for Robert Griffin III and the turnaround that that Mike Shanahan team had. Mike Shanahan was openly like auditioning players. That season was over. That man said, yeah, we're going to see what these guys are made of. We're going to see who wants to be around next year. And that team made a run to the playoffs. Then he destroyed Robert Griffin III's career, but that's a whole different story.
What?
And then you had Andrew Luck that same year. Find me more. Like, we're talking about a handful of guys. Cam had a phenomenal rookie year in which he lost a lot, which is the Peyton. He won like three games.
Led the league in interceptions that year, too.
He threw for a lot of yards, threw for a lot of touchdowns. CJ was on point and won. There aren't a lot of true rookie quarterbacks that do that. If Caleb did it, if Daniels did it this year, that'd be stunning to see performances like that from back-to-back years. Now, I think the good thing is the Bears aren't bad.
Right.
Like, they're not terrible. I guess the football team's not terrible. The Commanders aren't terrible. Mm-hmm. Those are two of the high-profile rookies. We'll see what happens in Denver. Kind of, you know, little wait and see on that.
That team does terrible.
Well, I'm a hater, so that's what I was going to say. Right. The coach seems terrible too, but
that'd be impressive. I'm not going to rule out anything for Bo Nix and what he might be able to do, but that's more along the lines of a rookie quarterback that we traditionally see,
Cam Newton.
Yeah, he's good, but the team around
they're 6-11,
right?
But ooh, right. Their future's bright.
So, but if he came out and won games, that'd be pretty impressive, Caleb. Even Jaden, to a certain degree, it seems like they have players around them. There's a roster that is halfway built already around these guys, where they might be successful. They might be successful out the gate.
They might. Yeah. They might.
CJ might go to the Super Bowl this year.
CJ's really good. If
boy
CJ
picked him to go.
Everybody,
your boy,
who
your boy Bill Simmons.
Why is that my boy?
That's your guy.
You know that, and I don't. So I'll ask again. Why is that my boy?
That's your guy. That's your guy, man.
You're projecting.
Jesse,
that's
you
all
Jesse
you do.
Always be talking about Bill Simmons, bro. I'm like, I know he's from Boston, but damn, bro.
Everyone knows I'm not a Bill Simmons guy. I'm a Cousin Sal fan.
That is that's my boy. That's what I say too. Because that's my boy, Cousin Sal. Cousin Sal, funny.
Everybody's talking
cousin,
about
Cousin Sal. Oh, what'd he say? He said something.
I don't know because I don't listen.
He said, oh, he was speaking about the Jets. And he was like, I mean, look, everybody knows. Yeah, I got to be biased now. I don't like that. I forgot Kimmel and Aaron Rodgers got into it.
What?
Remember Kimmel and Aaron Rodgers were going back and forth?
On his show?
No, because
they were just beefing like on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember on Twitter. Yeah.
Cousin
yeah.
Sal was like, yeah, you know, I hate the guy now. You know, it is what it is now.
All right, I might rock with Cousin Sal a little bit for that. I might rock with, because that's what they used to do, right? They used to write for Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. And yeah, he used to write, and Cousin Sal was a character on the show. I think he still might be. I ain't watched Kimmel in a while.
He's not actually Jimmy Kimmel's cousin, right?
I think he is.
I'm never sure how far the bit goes. But, oh, yeah, Cousin Sal's here, whatever, celebrating him. And here's him, blah, 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 or so-and-so from the family. Like, they're related.
I don't know. They fooled me if they did, because I thought he was really his cousin.
All right, Soren says he is.
Okay. Well, if Soren said so, it's
good enough cousin? For me. If
where are my cousins at?
So.
Why haven't my cousins pulled me up, you know, in Hollywood? Where are my cousins at?
Well, they're looking at you to pull them up. You're the star. I saw it on your Instagram video at the Metro concert.
I was just
like, you was out there, everybody, all the fans was happy to see you.
Oh, wow. That's all a good number of people. That's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
March Madness was fire live.
All right. You said, my boy, pick the Texans to go to the Super Bowl. By the way, everyone talking about Jordan Love's trajectory. I don't hear anybody talking about CJ's trajectory.
Oh, he's already there.
Yeah.
They look at him like he's already there. It ain't even like, yo, Jordan Love.
Jordan Love's not on his
team. On the come up, like, nah, CJ up there with the top fives. That's that's how people are looking at CJ.
I'm with it then.
And I'm okay. Shout out to him. I think CJ the truth.
Well, we've done about everything except pick the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
We know you've got the 49ers.
Damn right I got the 49ers.
Four years running.
Should I not have them?
D'Lo and KC, 5,000th episode, and here's old Kenny Caraway's 14th
should
straight.
Should I not have the 49ers?
You should not. It should be the 49ers.
I got
it should be the 49ers. Yeah. Against?
I got 49ers, and I think this might be the second or third year I picked this one in a row. I got 49ers-Ravens.
It's like the eighth year in a row you've picked the Ravens.
I'll just cut that and use it for next year.
Yeah, just don't even bother.
Yeah, what's the point of this damn segment now?
It's like, no, it's this year, not last year.
I got 49ers Ravens.
Do you got a Super Bowl pick?
Yeah, I think I do.
Okay.
You go with yours first, I guess.
Well, I just can't talk myself out of the 49ers and Chiefs.
Mm.
Like, you would have to talk me into Detroit, and I don't think you can.
Hmm.
I'm not picking Detroit to, like, fall.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I'm not picking Detroit to miss the playoffs. I'm just watching them with, like, a closer eye. Let me see what y'all do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not there with Green Bay, who I see people making comps to Detroit, and they're younger Detroit. Cool, man. Like, great. I still think it's the 49ers. I didn't pick the Eagles to make the playoffs. Talked extensively about the flaws of the Dallas Cowboys and how they might miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
We hate an entire division in the NFC. And it's like, where are we going after that?
Mm-hmm.
It seems incredible to think that the 49ers could do this again. But I'm not talking myself out of it. This feels like a logical selection.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think Patrick Mahomes is the one until that dude on our TV screen right there, Lamar Jackson or someone else, says otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing Chiefs 49ers. It's not original. It's not sexy. It's what I think is going to happen.
I got some thoughts on the AFC side, but Jesse, I want to hear what you got to say.
Yeah, I'm switching mine up. I'm going to go Texans Lions.
Well, wait. What?
Yeah, I'm going to go Texans Lions.
Well, what was it? You just said you switched it up.
I mean, I'm switching it up from the teams that we've seen. Like, we've seen the Chiefs and the 49ers over the, feels like 4 years or whatever. Obviously, the Niners have been hurt.
What did he say, Texans Lions? I mean, who listened to Bill Simmons now? Who listened to Bill
Simmons? You told me.
Who listened to Bill Simmons? Who following Bill Simmons now?
Bill Simmons listens to
Bill Simmons. Is that what he picked to be the Super Bowl, was the Texans and Lions?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Texans Lions just because.
I don't believe Jesse knew that.
That's his boy.
I think this is gonna be a year where like the Niners and Chiefs have been just kind of dominating, but the NFL doesn't really work out that way. It just keeps happening. There's a lot of teams where, like, I think we've said it a few times today, where someone's gonna have to kind of emerge or whatever. And I think that happens this year.
Mm.
Like, the Ravens will be around. I think the Texans, like, I got them in the Super Bowl, so they'll obviously be that. I think Miami takes a step forward. Cincinnati will be around, and then with the Niners, like, yes, they have the best team far and away in the NFC, but they're going to do that again. Like, they're going to push the boulder up the hill, like we said, again. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen, really. I feel like they can be got this year. It's not necessarily because of them, but it's just more so that doesn't happen, which is year after year, unless you're the Buffalo Bills or the Patriots dynasty or something.
I hear him on that. I just don't think there's anybody good enough in the NFC.
I think Detroit's kind of been building towards that.
Well, you're obviously tap dancing around something with the Chiefs. What is it?
Almost to Jesse's point or whatever the case, we ain't never seen this.
Like, basketball.
We've never seen what the Chiefs are doing. And specifically right now, we've never seen anybody three-peat.
Mm-hmm.
I can make the argument, because we've actually seen teams lose the Super Bowl, get back, win, or lose the Super Bowl and get back to the Super Bowl again. We ain't never seen nobody three-peat. And I was listening to the insiders, and Kyle was like, yo, I think the Chiefs are about to go crazy this year. Like, I think they're about to go crazy. And
I think not saying it's not 96 Bulls comp, if I remember correctly.
Not saying if I guess right now you can think about if anybody can do it, you bet on him. But mind you, we've never seen this. This has never happened. There's been teams that have repeated. There's been teams that have been going for a three-peat before, and for whatever reason, it don't happen. We ain't never seen nobody three-peat. We ain't never seen nobody run through the league for the third time. I'm a bet on history on this one. I'm a bet on history.
I'm betting on history too, just the other kind. Them making it. You're betting on what's happened. Mm-hmm. I'm betting on them making history. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's never happened before. I never saw anyone make 10 straight finals in my lifetime either until LeBron James did it.
Yeah, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is LeBron James. I don't know if the Chiefs are LeBron James. I don't know. Patrick Mahomes might end up being the greatest player quarterback we've ever seen. But
I think
at that time, LeBron was...
This Chiefs team would beat some of LeBron's Cavs teams, I'll tell you that.
I'm going to say, too, like in basketball, it's a lot harder to get that guy, but football is completely different.
No, football is different. Like, yeah,
that's different.
I don't doubt. I'm not. Yeah, football is completely different, and you're right. This has never happened before.
And I'll also say one other thing. The Chiefs, they made some improvements to the roster. They got better. You got to get a guy like what's my man, Xavier? What's the last name? The
Worthy.
Yeah, Worthy.
Xavier Worthy. I wanted to say
Tyreek Hill.
I wanted to say Xavier Woods. I don't know why.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You get a guy like that, a playmaker, a potential playmaker like that.
Tyreek Hill.
Okay, that's an improvement. Mm-hmm. Last year, they weren't the best team in football.
How'd the season end?
They won. They won a Super Bowl. I'm not saying, but the whole point is, like, can they be
that team again? I don't think that argument works. I don't think the argument of they're not the best team in football for a team that is regularly the best team in football, when they go on to win the Super Bowl, it's like, yeah, they're still the best team in football.
I was like with the Chiefs, I think.
No, I mean, but just looking at the team, like, they won. They won the tournament. So they get all the credit in the world for that. But you know how I do seven-game series? I don't think they beat the Ravens in a seven-game series last year. I don't think they beat the 49ers in a seven-game series. Like,
that's not football.
I understand, but when you're talking about, to me at least, when you're talking about who the best team is, not the team that won, who the best team is.
How often
is,
do you think the best team in football wins?
It's probably not as much as people think. Because, like, those Giants Super Bowls, I didn't think they were the best team in football, but they won the tournament.
Uh-huh.
Like, they I'm not taking nothing away. They won the tournament.
I assume if the 49ers win this year, it's because they're the best team in football.
Yeah, not because they're the 49ers, but because I don't think, like, if the Ravens beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl, they might have beat them in a seven-game series. That might just be the best team. If the Ravens would have beat the Niners last year.
Would the Chiefs have beat the 49ers in a seven-game series?
No. Not in my opinion.
Huh.
But once again, I said I don't think the Chiefs would have beat the
Ravens.
The Ravens in a seven-game series.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. I'd probably still pick them to win that game. But I was about to say, I'm not sure they would have beat the Bills in a seven-game series.
Okay.
I would have picked them, though.
I don't know, like, the Chiefs, that's one way of looking at it, I guess, because, like, last year, like, there was the whole, well, the
but
Chiefs have never gone on the road.
But what the point of this discussion is.
Is I don't think they're the, like, I don't, when we get to the playoffs this year, I don't think we're going to look at them as the best, the odds-on favorite. The only reason we're going to, like, people will pick them is because they're good, and they got Patrick Mahomes. There'll be teams that I think are better, whether it's the Lions, the 49ers, the Ravens. There'll be teams that I think are better teams than the Chiefs, but it's hard to go against them because you got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the cachet of the championship. They showed last year, because remember, one of the things that we all talked about, well, some people talked about, was I want to see Mahomes do it on the road. Well, they went on the road,
which was dumb,
in a major way. Well, it was
ridiculous.
We had never seen it. We had never seen it. I want to see what he can do on the road. He did it.
So he did something last year that you hadn't seen him do before.
Yeah, he did it. He did it. So that's not even anything that can be talked about at this point. You know what I mean? Like, he went on the road twice in two hostile environments and got it done and then won the Super Bowl. So that's not a talking point. So what I'm saying is, at the end of the season, if they're in the same boat, like they're the three seed again next year, people will still look at them as the favorites because they got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid.
Okay.
And I'm saying if they're the three seed again next year, those other teams ahead of them might be a better team this year. And if it's the Ravens, if same scenario happens again, they play each other in the AFC Championship game in Baltimore, I'm picking Baltimore.
Okay. And I think you'd be wrong again.
But maybe.
That's fine. At some point, the Super Bowl prediction is going to pay off for you. Just keep sticking with it. D'Lo and Casey aren't going anywhere. We'll come back. We'll shift our attention to basketball a little bit as we count down the top 20 games of the Kings season. Of course, Matt George is going to join us in about 30 minutes as well. Steelo and Casey brought to you by Sky River Casino, where we will be this Monday for the 49ers kicking off this Super Bowl run.
That's right.
Against the New York Jets, who I hope they beat by 50, inside 32 Brew Street. Come see us. Show begins at 12 o'clock. We'd love, 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 love to have you there. If you've never been out there for a live show, this is a great one to attend. We have an open invitation sent out to media members all across Sacramento. Just show up. Walk on stage. We got you. We got more ahead on ESPN 1320. Kenny's seven-game series has just gotten everything in an uproar.
Because you guys don't understand
don't do
me.
No, we understand you. We just look, I'm, hear what I'm saying and don't misinterpret it. We understand you. We just think it's dumb. That's all it is. Why are you so quiet? Are you in on this seven-game series?
I'm trying to figure it out. Okay. So who was the best team in football last year then?
So is it were the Ravens the best team in football in your mind or the 49ers?
I think the 49ers were the best team. I think the Ravens
were the second. Well, I'm stunned by that revelation.
I feel like you can't
act like they're the Panthers and I'm saying they're the best team. No, I thought they were the best team in football. I thought the Ravens were the second best team, or you could say 1A or whatever, and I'd have the Chiefs after them. But the Chiefs won the game.
So the Ravens.
But this thing, like, it's football. That's how you prove you're the best. It's just off that. No, head-to-head.
That's the point I was trying to make.
That's the point I'm making. You can't say I'm the. All right.
Yeah, it's head to head.
The Giants proved they were the best team in football.
That year,
We just went over that.
They won the Super Bowl. I can't argue with you if you think the Giants were the best team in football. The Giants were better than that Patriots team.
Yeah, they beat them.
Okay.
I mean, they might not have the record.
That's better than Mike Tyson?
We'll talk it like this, though. Like, I mean, the Giants barely lost to him week 17, and then they beat him. Like, football is just different. It's not like that where it's just matchup to, like, I don't, like, you get what I'm saying? It's different. Like, the Giants obviously had something for the Patriots that year. They hung with them like no other team that year, and then they beat them.
All right.
The Giants almost beat them week 17, and then they did beat them.
I can't argue anybody that says their opinion on it. I don't think the Giants were better. They were a good matchup, but if you had fight your rent in one game, you picking the Patriots or the Giants?
Well, that's different. They're like, we're just wrong. We're wrong at that point. We're wrong.
Well, that's the difference. You take the team that you think is better.
Yeah, I put money on the Patriots. I'm wrong still. I was wrong.
But I'm asking you to put your money on the team that you think is better. You will put it on the Giants.
I don't think he's saying he thought the team was better.
He said they're the best team.
It's an opinion. I can have an opinion the Patriots are going
to
win.
But you're asking him to put money on going into a game.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have put money on the Giants going into
I could go into thinking the Patriots are the best team, and I can come out thinking they lost. The Giants are now the best team.
I think everyone understands the seven-game series. It just doesn't.
The only reason I even brought that up in this case is because, like what Kyle said, like, oh, the Chiefs about to go crazy this year. Nah, the Chiefs were actually kind of showing signs that they're slipping a little bit.
But and that's I think Kyle's opinion about what he thinks the Chiefs
and I'm just saying,
this year.
I'm saying my opinion is I disagree with that. They were showing signs that they're slipping a little bit, and I think they'll slip enough this year where they're not going to be in the Super Bowl.
Can that Patriots team come out and say they're better than the Giants even when they struggled and lost, though?
What'd you say?
Like that Patriots team that we're talking about. Can they come out and say they're better than the Giants even though they barely beat them and then lost in the biggest game? Can the Patriots say they're better than the Giants there?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. To your guys' original point, it doesn't matter. You don't have a title to show for it, but I understand feeling that way. I get it. And I get the Giants saying, I don't care what you think. We just had to beat you that day. That's all we had to do. That makes sense. Hey, real quick, great sign. Really cool to see. Actually amazing to see. Ricky Pearsall was at practice today, mm-hmm. walking around. He wasn't practicing, but
yeah, apparently he's doing dumbbell curls, and
that's crazy.
I don't know what's going on.
That's crazy. Sit down for a second, big dog.
I mean, if he's
whatever,
fine.
Or whatever helps you feel better, too, though. Yeah. Mentally and
if he's fine, let him cook.
Also, I couldn't imagine that. Like, he was walking back to the ambulance. Like, at that point, like, I'm not getting up, brother.
That's crazy, man. But good to see him out there. Good to see him out there.
Did Mike Bibby leak the King City Edition jersey yesterday?
I think he did. I think he did. The giveaway was got the new Nike sign on it or whatever.
Why was Mike taking mirror selfies is question number one.
See that commercial in the month?
Right.
Oh, Mike.
Well, the King's Purples are back.
It's been deleted, right? Like the post or story or whatever it was deleted. Yeah. It's not up anymore.
Yeah, but it's
It's
always on the internet.
Oh, Mike. It definitely is.
Those are the ones they're bringing back, though. That's fire. I like those ones.
I wasn't happy when they made those when they did. I didn't want to. I like the black ones that they had and the black Kings mm-hmm. row joints.
Mm-hmm.
So when they went to,
I'm just happy purple might be back.
Yeah, purple.
Yeah, not like that.
Still there though,
the kind that we have with the off shade.
No, there was a purple shortage.
Yeah, there was a purple shortage, but the City Edition last year had the purple. It was the two sides.
Oh, was it faded?
It's the D'Lo and Casey, yeah. Okay. Basically whatever you want to call this little bar graphic we have.
Yeah, that's right. That's
the D'Lo and Casey Edition. Yeah,
that's what it was.
I like those too. I like those.
I did too. Yeah, but I like those too.
I don't know if they're gonna like finally get rid of the blue, the royal blue,
because
that was another alternate last year. I think that was
a was it?
Yeah, I think it was the ones that had Kings down the
side. Yeah, I think
that was last year.
Was that the tournament jersey? The in-season tournament jersey? Is that what that was?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, but they wore it afterwards because I remember that's when Kevin Herter got hurt because they were on that red court.
Oh,
so they wore that after the in-season tournament too,
okay.
For whatever reason.
Okay.
So yeah, but it feels like Mike leaked it, and the reason why he leaked it, or he didn't leak it on purpose, but why it's
wasn't this supposed year's to be out there
is because of that Nike mm-hmm. swoosh or the Nike logo.
He wasn't putting on an old uniform,
right? If there was no Nike,
look, it still fits.
If there was no Nike logo there, you could say, oh, I'm just shooting a commercial for whatever and reminiscing or whatever. But no, the new Nike logo's on mm-hmm. there. So yeah, that's. That'll be unveiled officially soon, but I like them better as a alternate jersey.
The purple, or the Sacramento.
The Sacramento with the purple. Like mm-hmm. I wasn't that crazy.
Why do you hate
about
purple?
The font and all this other stuff. Maybe it was the font.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't like that. I didn't like that with the number kind of on the side. Yeah. Or I like the number in the middle. So
I did always like the Sacramento being on it though.
I like that too. I like that aspect too.
Like it better than Sacktown.
Wow. Who likes Sacktown?
Like
Phoenix.
I don't know who says that? Well, there's evidence to point to that.
If they would have had those when they first had them as an alternate, I would have been happy. But the fact that they got rid of the whole black Kings jersey, I didn't like that.
Since we're talking Kings. The list continues.
Yes, sir.
The top 20 games of the 23-24 season. Game number 18. Can you carry away?
Hey, man. Game number 18. It was also another fun game to watch. Another fun. And this is going to make it better because you hadn't watched it, but I think you're going to. You're gonna remember this finally when I start like kind of breaking some other things down about this game. It was February 25th, a Sunday night
mm-hmm.
in Los Angeles, California, where the Kings went into Crypto and beat the Clippers 123-107.
It was damn near a year to the day.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, right? Like it really was. Somebody had like showed when I was watching the broadcast, they had showed like a clip or something like that. And I was like, did I put on the wrong game or something mm-hmm. like that? But that was like almost a year to the day, like you said. But 123-107, De'Aaron Fox was phenomenal in this game. Phenomenal. 33.7 assists. He was that dude. Mm-hmm. Clippers didn't stand a chance against him. As we do, I give you some of the notes that I took while rewatching this game. There was a moment, 9:24 in the fourth quarter. James Harden drives to the basket, just kind of bullies into De'Aaron Fox, and kind of just throws it up. Ref calls the foul on De'Aaron. De'Aaron pumps his fist and starts cursing and gets a technical foul. Immediately after that, De'Aaron Fox to the bucket, little bully ball. Oh, no, I take that back. Inbounds because it was a technical. They shot the free throw. Kings get the ball. De'Aaron scores. Comes back down court. Locks up James Harden. Ball goes out of bounds. Kings ball. Gets the ball back to De'Aaron. Boom, boom, boom. De'Aaron gets another bucket. Comes back down again. Fox locks up Harden again. Jump ball at the center of the court. And then Fox gets hyped. Fox is cursing and doing all this. And he's pumping his fist. And everybody's hyped. And I watched that. And number one, the tweet that I had the other day is 100% accurate. De'Aaron Fox is the best two-way point guard in the game today. It was on full display in this entire game, the way he was defending James Harden. Mm. And that moment right there also shows this is what he does. He defends on ball better than any point guard that is also scoring 27 points per game. Like, I know Drew Holiday defends at a high level too, but he's not asked to score 27 a night. So De'Aaron does that better than any point guard in the game. The other thing that I liked about that is, maybe it's just me, I don't know if the rest of Kings fans feel this way, but because he's so even tempered a lot of times, when De'Aaron gets turned up, it hits different. It's different. It's like, oh, let's go. We ready to fight. What you need, De'Aaron? What you need? What you need? You hyped too? Let's go. Like, it hits different when De'Aaron does that. Another sequence in this game, late in the game, I'm gonna say that because it goes into what something else I'm saying. Domantas Sabonis was a beast too. This was also Domantas Sabonis dunking over Zubac. Went crazy. That was nasty. We saw our girl Ania. She was down there as well. Mm-hmm. On my head top. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was a good times. It was good times. Kevin Huerter played well in this game as well. That was a good game from Kevin Huerter. I think he had, where's my notes here? Yeah, 15 points in the game. A common theme for these games where the Kings play well so far is Harrison Barnes plays well.
Okay.
Harrison Barnes, 22 points in this game, 8 of 12 from the field, 4 of 7 from three-point line. Now, I mentioned earlier there was a star in this game. And it's all going to come back to you when I say this.
Mm-hmm.
This game, Kings, Clippers. Sunday evening, fourth game of a quadruple header between ABC and ESPN, an ESPN game.
Mm-hmm.
And the analyst,
I know where you're going,
was your boy.
No, don't put that on me. They lost to Detroit, you know. If they could just figure out how to beat Detroit. No. You know they lost to Detroit, guys.
Now look, I got it. I got the timestamp. 2 minutes in, he starts talking crazy about the Kings' defense.
This dude.
This was only a first half. I did a first half defensive counter for Bob Myers. Six times in the first half did he talk about it.
This was the game. This was the game as a shoot when it goes off the air. Bob Myers is still talking about the Kings losing to Detroit. They just beat the Los Angeles Clippers in Los Angeles.
Who was the 3 seed at the time.
And Bob Myers, for the 15th time in this broadcast, signs off the air by referencing the Kings losing to Detroit.
No.
The worst analyst that has ever existed.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.